The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
The 82-game preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SMASH. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code SMASH, only on DraftKings. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, it is Halloween here on the East Coast for another 43 minutes, and this was a Halloween-type UFC event. First time in promotional history, the UFC ran an event on Halloween. There was some blood, there was some gore, there were some finishes. Overall, pretty damn good night for the UFC in their return home to Las Vegas after a five-week trip to Fight Island, and the Halloween spirit is amongst the crew here. Welcome to the UFC Vegas 12 post-fight show. I am Mike Heck, being joined by Alex K. Lee and E. Casey Lydon. Casey, what the hell are you wearing? Like, what is that costume? Am I just out of touch?
I've been working out. I'm cutting weight to see what it feels like to be a fighter. But this is my muscle suit. If you watch now I forgot what it's called. It's Japanese anime. I just can't. For some reason, my mind is
Attack on Titan.
Attack on Titan. Sorry, there was who is that over there? Who is that?
It's me, guys. It's not a monkey man. It's Alexander K. Lee here. Come on now. You guys thought it was a monkey man on the show?
Oh.
No, it's me. I'm here. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to scare anyone, but it's Halloween, right?
How you doing, AK?
I'm great. I am
great.
Well, I'm cool to see the mask. I spent like $3 on that mask, so, and not even recently.
$3 well spent, my friend.
I'm doing great. I know it's a bit of a long wait to start the post-fight show. That we had an eventful, I'd say somewhat of an eventful post-fight presser, from what I saw, from Dana White and Bryce Mitchell and Uriah Hall. But you know, we can talk about that and other stuff as we progress through this show here.
Well, you know, kind of like we talked about off air and how we wrapped the last show off. I mean, we had like 45 minutes before Dana White even got up there. So we answered some questions. We broke down a lot of the big storylines, the bonuses, all that stuff. Trolls in the comments, try and fight Casey now. Hiya, Jessica from Crystal Crew. But AK, we didn't get your take on the main event. Uriah Hall puts away Anderson Silva in round four. It seemed like Anderson Silva was looking pretty darn good. I'd say like 13, 14 minutes into that fight, he was probably winning it until he got dropped at the end of the third and then ultimately finished in the fourth. Dana White comes out and says, "That's it. I shouldn't even have let this man fight, he said afterwards. But he said he will not be fighting again in the UFC. Before we talk about that, which I'm sure there's going to be a lot of questions about, give us your thoughts on the main event, how Silva looked at 45 years of age in this main event, and how Uriah Hall was able to sort of overcome what happened in those first 13, 14 minutes or so and get the finish.
There's still a magic to watching Anderson Silva perform, isn't there? I mean, I think most of us picked Hall. I think most people making any sort of serious assessment of the fight saw it for what it was, which is, again, two guys with somewhat similar styles. Silva, one of the greatest strikers of all time. Maybe still, you could argue, a superior striker to most people at 185, including Uriah Hall. But also 45 years old, having lost a step, maybe a step or two. And in the fight game, see when you're against someone like Uriah Hall, who's really in their prime, that step or half step or two steps can make all the difference. So it was certainly fun to watch, as we said, and as most people saw, he was winning some of those rounds. I actually did give the first round to Hall. I may have been out to lunch on that one, but I thought it was close. I gave it to Hall. The next two, I was giving to Silva, or at least the third one I was going to, until of course he got knocked down at the end. So it was, but you saw those moments. You saw that stuff that's made us fall in love with Anderson Silva for so many years. And even the ending, if this is the end, which I think a lot of us think it might be in the UFC, might not be overall. We might see Silva fight somewhere else or do some other sort of combat sport. It was a really beautiful moment. And it's going to stick with me for a long time, the Uriah Hall going over to him and saying, I love you, and apologizing and just bawling. This wasn't like an elegant, planned, you know, moment. This was a really, really an emotional fighter. Uriah Hall's an emotional fighter, having an emotional moment in front of everyone, for everyone to see. And Anderson Silva responding in kind, really acting like the elder statesman he is, and saying he loved him back, and giving him some words of wisdom. So a very cool thing, which I think we'll reflect on for a long time. Something Uriah Hall is definitely going to remember for the rest of his life.
I would agree with that. It was an interesting fight. It was fun while it lasted. It was kind of like everything we expected it to be. Uriah Hall was like, wow, I'm fighting Anderson Silva for the first 10 minutes. And then eventually he got comfortable and the fight played out the way that it did. So congratulations, Uriah Hall. Now we try to figure out what's next for Anderson Silva. And it was funny because, like, what else did Anderson Silva have to say to convince everybody that this was not going to be his last fight ever? Like, he said it in every single interview, but yet the UFC pushed the narrative the entire time. It's like a freaking Anderson Silva tribute the entire time. His final fight, even though Anderson Silva, like 3 days ago, was like, we'll see how this one goes, but it's probably not going to be my last fight. Like, it's just crazy that the UFC just basically were like the entire night pushing him right out the door, no matter what happened in that fight. It was just very interesting to see. But AK, before we get to the questions, because we're going to fire right into the peep. So leave your questions, thoughts, comments on the event in the comments section, and we're going to pull those up immediately. But AK, we didn't get your degree of difficulty score heading into this event, and I know some people like to frown upon it, but still, I'm curious to get your overall assessment, a grade, if you will, for tonight's event, because I thought it was pretty damn good.
Well, I think I mentioned on the last time we did On to the Next One, and it's kind of one of the reasons I didn't do the preview show, is because I think it's time to retire this scale when referring to sporting events. I think it still works for other forms of media, specifically movies. It really was designed to rate movies. But I think there's just so many intangibles and so many ways that fight cards can like surpass our expectations. It's really difficult to put an actual ceiling on them and kind of judge their potential entertainment value. Plus, there's different forms of entertainment. Like when we're talking about MMA, do you judge the quality of a card by how many finishes there were, how much star power was on it, how competitive the fights were? Storylines, again, like we saw tonight, like if we're just rating the ending of the night, the ending was a 10. It was just a great, great combat sports moment. I don't know how people view the rest of the card or how that rating of that moment would affect the card score on average. But really, I think my trying to give a pre-fight rating, I don't know if it makes sense anymore. So I'm officially retiring the gymnastics scale for UFC events and MMA events in general on this episode of our post flight show.
Well, all right. Well,
someone retired tonight. Wow.
All right. Well, scale of 1 to 10. What do you grade the card?
I'll give it a solid 8. It really nailed the landing. It really nailed the landing. That's what I'll say. I think regardless of some of the other. I thought it was a pretty entertaining card throughout. I mean, look, we had a lot of finishes. And again, I'm not, as I was kind of just saying, I don't think finishes are necessarily, you know, what define what makes a good card. But I don't think anyone's going to argue that they were entertaining. You know, you could say something about the quality of competition, but they're entertaining finishes. They're finishes that for the winners will stand out, become part of their highlight reel, become part of their package for the rest of their time in the UFC. So in that sense, it was good. And then again, like I said, the ending, just a mesmerizing fight for what it was in the main event. And then everything after was really, really beautiful.
Casey, let me ask you this, because we watched these scrums. We got Dana White, then we got Bryce Mitchell, and then we got Uriah Hall. And Dana White came in a little bit grumpy. Then the talk about Adesanya versus Jan Blachowicz, which is interesting, for the light heavyweight title coming up sometime, I assume, in 2021, maybe sooner. That kind of put a smile on his face, but coming in, he felt that he made a mistake even booking Anderson Silva in this fight and regretted it watching it in the aftermath. So after hearing what Dana White had to say, what did you think of the whole thing and how he reacted to the fight?
It was just odd. I just didn't get it. Like, even as a promoter, like, I mean, he shit on Uriah Hall. I mean, like, he didn't even go like, man, Anderson Silva clearly isn't the same guy, but man, Uriah Hall, he brought it tonight, which he did. He did, I thought. I mean, and he did it when he needed to. You know, he obviously kind of, you know, took his time, but when he felt it was time to go, Uriah Hall was there, and he showed up, and we got the Uriah Hall that has advertised. Clearly something's going on behind the scenes with Anderson Silva and Dana White in the UFC. And I mean, the whole Dana White, I've never talked bad about your Anderson Silva. It's like, dude, I was in Abu Dhabi for that fight against Maya. I shot the interview where you just said it was the most, like, this embarrassing performance ever in the UFC. Like, I was there. Like, what are you talking about, man? So, yeah, everyone was just moody tonight. It was odd. I don't know. Maybe because we had to wait for the presser. Maybe they were, I don't know. Everyone just sounded like they were ready to go home. I don't know. It was a weird mood. It was a weird mood.
AK, what is your gut telling you? Is that the last time we've seen Anderson Silva fight?
Oh, no. Heck no. No, I thought you were going to ask me about Dana White's demeanor. I want to comment on Dana White's demeanor really quickly.
Sure.
Mike. I think he's a bit burnt out. I'm not going to make an excuse for him being crusty and being a bad promoter. We know he's a bad promoter. Like, that's not new. For him to criticize Uriah Hall and then also crap on Anderson Silva as far as saying, like, oh, I shouldn't have made this fight happen, blah, blah. Because the fight wasn't that bad. Yeah, I think, like, for him to kind of downplay this moment. He should have waxed a little more poetic about it. I mean, he doesn't have to say it was like the greatest moment he's ever seen, but I'll be a little more honest about kind of how genuine the moment was. So that's not new. This is classic Dana White of somehow being able to take one fight with two marketable people and somehow make somehow crap on both of them. We've seen this before. I don't know why he does it. It's terrible. But I'll say, why does he seem so kind of particularly crusty now? He was a bit short in Abu Dhabi as well. I don't know if you'll remember the last Abu Dhabi press conference. I think he was up there for less than 10 minutes, which is very uncommon for him. I think he might be a little bit burnt out. I'll just say he is a human being. You know, regardless of how you feel about Dana, he is a human being. He's been traveling a lot. He's running the same schedule that we are with events, but probably doing, you know, and doing a lot of work. He's very involved. So I think it's just, yes, there might be some stuff going on backstage with Anderson Silva and other fighters, and who knows what else. But also, he's just been doing a lot of these press conferences.
Yeah. So there you go. So Uriah Hall gets finished. Bryce Mitchell gets a big win over Andre Feely. Greg Hardy finishes Boris Green in the second round of their heavyweight fight. Kevin Holland gets another finish. He goes to 4-0 in 2020. What a year that man has had. And just so many, like, bumps in the road too. Different opponent changes, last second fights, like all this craziness. He is 4-0, and Bobby Green could not go to 4-0. Thiago Moises gets a decision win. And that one to kick off the main card, the bonuses, Kevin Holland, Alexander Hernandez, who looked outstanding tonight. Adrian Yanez, what a knockout that was. And then Miles Johns, the first fight of the night with a uppercut from hell.
Should Uriah Hall not have got a bonus instead of Kevin Holland? I mean, I think all the guys just everyone who gets finishes should get bonuses. But if we're going to say the four best, Kevin Holland, it was cool, but kind of a scary thing. Not something I'd want to, and it's not his fault that, you know, Charlie Ontiveros might have landed in an awkward way. But I mean, that finish was more scary than, like, impressive. I'm surprised that Uriah Hall for a really, really nice knockout of Anderson Silva.
And against wasn't he a welterweight coming in on, like, what, a day's notice? 2 days?
No, this time he had, like, a little less than 2 weeks, I think. So,
oh, this opponent was 2 weeks? Okay.
I think so, yeah. Ontiveros.
No,
the guy came out. He came out Thursday. Like, he was out because Kevin Holland was scheduled for the media day on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday, and then they didn't show up. Him and his opponent. I forgot his opponent's name. And they got
Sorry, you're right.
Holland
3 days.
Was in,
you're right. 3 days. Yeah, yeah. And so was Ontiveros. Remember, he was in for Muradov. Yeah,
Ontiveros was 3 days.
You're right. 3 days. Yeah, 3 days. Casey. Yeah.
And Holland replaced Christoph Jocko.
Yeah. So he
got a little under 2 weeks' notice. Yeah. So what a year that man's had.
But, great victory for Holland. I'm just kind of surprised he got 50K when there were all these other big knockouts against more competitive fights, you know, with proper preparation. But
normally a finish in the main event gets you a bonus. They're pretty consistent with that. So I'm surprised that is such a main event that, like, the show relied on so much. Like, this was marketing wise, like a 2-fight card. So normally you would give someone in the main event a bonus, especially when they finish in such a dramatic way. But like I said, congratulations for Holland. I won't take anything away from him. They should just be giving out more bonuses. If you get a finish, you should get a bonus. Okay. If it's controversial, we can talk about it. But the default should be you get a finish, you get extra cash.
I thought Jason Witt got the biggest hose job of all.
Mm.
A submission. I mean, that was he put it on him every second of that fight. And Cole Williams missed weight by 4.5 pounds, a massive weight miss. And listen, I understand that you're getting 40% of his purse, but Cole Williams only been in the UFC. That was only his second fight. He's probably making 12 and 12. So what did he get? Like $3,000 extra? Maybe. It's nothing. After taxes, it's like caca. He'll be able to get some buffet at the, you know, at the Las Vegas airport if he's lucky. But I mean, I thought he deserved a bonus, but it is what it is. Congratulations to Johns, Giannis, Hernandez, and Holland. Holland's making some bank this year, so good on him.
Get rid of the four bonus limit. Get rid of the four bonus limit. It is so asinine. It just makes no sense. Do you want people to – they want people to pursue finishes. So just say, yeah, we're going to pay you fat stacks if you get a finish. So reward – if you're not going to get rid of the show win system, then at least start giving more bonuses out. This is ridiculous.
I have talked to like other fighters who got finishes on cards that didn't get bonuses, and the UFC usually kicks them a couple extra bucks. So not like not 50 G's.
Ain't 50 G's, but
you know, we go from the fat stacks to like the, I don't know.
I mean, technically it's
the medium stacks.
Hey guys,
do I look fat?
You look like Autumn on steroids.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's sort of like lay you out and rake you up and throw you in a trash bag.
I think technically you have no fat. Walked right into it.
Yes.
I love you.
I thought we were going to lose AK.
I love you, AK. I love you. I love you, Candy.
I love you, guys. I love you, guys.
Question.
Let's go to the beat. Let's go to the beat.
I love you. I'm so sorry. That's my hall. That was blowing. I got emotional.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
This isn't really a question. It's more of a comment, but I'd like to talk about it. I'm a long-time...
Long time viewer.
Tristan Gordet, usually I appreciate everything you say, but why do you think that? Because in my humble opinion, and this is just me, I thought Anderson Silva won like the first 13 minutes of that fight.
Yeah.
At least in my eyes. I definitely think he won the first two rounds. I think he was on his way to winning the third until he got dropped, and then he got finished in the fourth. So I don't think it's fair to say he had no business being in there.
I think that's strong no matter what, because I was going to say, could you reframe that as he had no business being in there with a ranked opponent? But like you said, he was doing really well against a ranked opponent, right? It's just the speed, the chin, it's just not quite there anymore. So yeah, I don't think I can agree with this statement. What kind of opponent should Anderson Silva be in the cage with at this point? Another question. Diego said, yeah, sure. Maybe it's something we can touch upon in our matchmaking show, Mike. I'm not sure. We normally only cover the winners, and again, especially we don't cover guys who could potentially not be fighting in the UFC again. But I'm trying to think. Uriah Hall was a good matchup for him, at least as far as stylistically they're similar, which is what we saw, and it's like kind of got what we expected. The only fear was that, yeah, he'd be on the end of a highlight reel KO, which is also what happened. So it's kind of weird. I feel like we got everything we wanted. We got to see a good Anderson Silva performance, and we also got to see Uriah Hall take out a legend, which I'm not sure that's what people want to see, but I think it's one of the outcomes that was positive for fans and positive for the UFC. So, we are in disagreement on this one.
Yeah, and
– Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just – and, like, Dana just, like, crapping on the second round. Like, there was only 11 strikes. I was like, I watched the second round. Like, I don't remember it being that horrible. To me, I was like, no, this is an Anderson Silva fight, and this is a Uriah Hall fight. Neither of those guys have massive high output. They're very, you know, very patient. Let's just call it that. You know, they look great in highlight reels, but if you kind of watch the whole fight a lot of times, you know, yeah, there's going to be times where they're just kind of like, you know, remember they were just kind of patting each other's hands, it felt like, for like a minute, you know, but these guys are super high level, very dangerous strikers. We're educated MMA viewers. We know, just give it time. Let it simmer, you know? So I'm still confused by Dana just trashing the main event. But by saying Silva had no business in there, I mean, we saw Jack Marshman and Sean Strickland. You know, they're two middleweights. You don't think Silva could compete with Sean Strickland or Jack Marshman? Like, I don't understand. Like, to me, Anderson Silva is still better than 50% of the UFC middleweights. Now, does UFC want to pay Anderson Silva that type of money to be a mid-tier middleweight? That's a different story. That's business. But no, Anderson Silva is still a competitive middleweight, you know. So, Tristan, keep watching. Love your comments, but gotta smash you on this one.
Tristan has added. He just doesn't look the same. He's not the same. Oh, like, yeah, he's not. He's 45.
Yeah,
he's 45.
You're 45. He's 40.
That statement I can agree with. He's scientifically not the same. He's 45. 45 years young, okay? 45 years young. He's got a lot left in the tank. And fighting, I don't know, but he's got a lot to contribute to the martial arts world and to life in general. So, yes, of course, he doesn't look the same, but he looked competitive. That, I think, is indisputable.
Yes.
He landed a spinning back kick to the calf of Uriah Hall. Yeah,
that can't feel good.
No, that was wild. So he still had some tricks up his sleeve.
Hey, come on. Yeah, it sucks to watch your – I don't want to say heroes, but, you know, these legends of sport, it sucks when they get knocked out. It doesn't feel good, you know, to watch as a fan, you know. But it was still cool. It's Anderson Silva, man. He was doing all this, you know, his things and stuff. I don't know. You know, it was fun to watch.
He's playing the greatest hits. He's playing Taking Care of Business. You know, yeah. He's like, you know, he's playing the hits.
There you go. And, you know, the man makes a paycheck and, you know, he gets to feed his family, you know, live a good life. So I have no issue with it.
Dude, coming out to Ain't No Sunshine tonight, I got chills.
Yeah, it was still
absolute
fun.
Chills.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
All right.
What's next for Kevin Holland? Should he get a top 10?
From Sandy Pham.
I don't know.
I don't think he's top 10. I don't think he's top 10. I think there's a lot of good. Mike Perry. What are we doing?
I like the Mike Perry idea. I do. Well, I like the Mike Perry idea.
Sure. I like it too. But if we're talking middleweight, let's say top 10 middleweight. Let's say top 10 middleweight.
Okay, middleweight.
Let me throw a name out, like a few names out here for you. A couple, actually. Calvin Gastelum.
Don't dislike it.
Well, that's a top 10. So that's a top 10 opponent. So
Calvin's on what? Two? He lost.
Three fight losing streak.
Three?
That's counting at Adesanya. So two non-title fights.
Till fight kind of seemed not to happen, but
three fight losing streak. I mean, that's the top 10 guy that I don't think you would be unreasonable to match. I don't see it happening. I'm just speaking strictly to the hypothetical, you know, point of this question. That wouldn't be crazy. Wouldn't be crazy. And Jacare?
Don't like it.
No,
but the Kelvin one
stopped. I had you.
Isn't Jacare fighting somebody?
I think so. Yes.
I'm trying to think who it is off the top of my head. I'm getting tired.
This is why we need.
We thought we had an early night, and then it's suddenly not became an early night.
I have had quite a day. Yeah. So
understandable.
Jacare is fighting Vittori. Vittori got his
That's
big
right.
fight.
Yeah,
That's number 12. December 12th.
Well, here's December 12th. Okay, so here's my other suggestion. If something happens with that fight to either individual, you slide Kevin Holland right in there, especially if it's Jacare who falls out. But then we get Holland Vittori, which would make Holland very happy.
But no Holland in November?
Well, I mean, if they could book up a fight in November, great.
So we've got August, September.
You guys fought 3 months in a row.
3 months in a row. I'm used to it now. I'm kind of like, this is what
I'll be craving it. You know,
I think ESPN Plus subscribers are like, it's in my contract, right? One Kevin Holland fight a month. Because if it's not, that's what they certainly think it is. And they've certainly gotten used to that. So, again, we don't have ESPN Plus up here, but I'm saying you guys down there at ESPN Plus, you've been getting some sweet, sweet, sweet monthly dose of Kevin Holland. I think it would suck if you didn't see it in November.
Let's do it. I mean, I like the Perry idea. I think that would be great. And Perry even said, I'll fight at 185. against Shamayev.
And Holland said, well, I'll meet at a catchweight because he doesn't want to do welterweight, but he'll say he'll do 180. So
75, 80, 85.
If the UFC is still going to book Mike Perry, despite what's going on outside the cage, which we're not going to talk about because it's too late for that. But yeah, that seems like the fun fight to book.
Holland is one of the most entertaining guys in the UFC right now. Is that fair to say?
Yes. Sure.
Both personality wise and also I think performances. Like I mentioned in my predictions that one of the reasons he's perfect for taking these short notice fights is he's so adaptable. Like remember the Joaquin Buckley fight? It took him like a round and a bit to figure Buckley out because Buckley's kind of unorthodox and kind of crazy. And a lot of guys that would throw them off, but Holland's just kind of like, oh, okay, this is what we're going to do. I'll play your game a little bit, figure you out, and then I'm going to play my game, right? He's gotten better at doing that second part more, implementing his game as opposed to kind of futzing around and like he does kind of mess around in positions that sometimes he shouldn't because I think he's like one of those guys who likes to challenge himself. But he's just really really fun to watch. Just as far as you know how he fights and how quickly he adapts and his attitude in the fight. I think he took like an axe kick in the first round. He's just like. He like pointed off. I don't know what he was gesturing, but he just kind of like, you know, acknowledging it and like, yeah, nice axe kick, buddy. And then he later slammed Ontiveros on his head. So fun guy.
Holland's history. Didn't Dana pass on him on the Contender Series? Was it Holland I'm thinking of?
He did. I think you're right. I don't think he got a contract.
Yeah, he actually won the Contender Series and Dana was like, he talks too much. Was he that guy? The guy that.
Yeah, he fought a guy that he should have murked. And I like no disrespect to Will Santiago, right. But he should have went in there and finished him in like a minute. But instead, he decided to talk a bunch of noise and won a decision. So right, Dana was like, no. But they brought him in 2 months later to fight Thiago Santos on like a week's notice anyways.
In a competitive fight, yeah. I wasn't big on – actually, I didn't know anything about Kevin Holland, but I remember that fight. I was like, dude, this guy came in – to me, a welterweight came in like on a day's notice, fight Thiago Santos, and it was competitive and fun. So I was like, no, this guy clearly is a talent, and we're going to see lots of Kevin Holland. I don't know how high up the rankings he'll ever go. I mean, in my mind, I don't see him fighting for a title, but he is going to be in the UFC for a while, and we're going to see him a lot. So I'm excited.
Yeah, how old? I'm trying to see. What is he, 26? 20, he's 27.
Oh, he'll be 28 on Monday.
Yes. Well, yeah, November 5th. Right?
November 5th, correct. Sorry, I'm sorry. Okay, so Thursday.
Thursday. Good. Yeah. Happy birthday, Kevin Holland.
Happy birthday, Kevin Holland.
50 G's.
28 years young and 50 G's richer, yeah.
Yeah.
What will be the opening odds for the Izzy-Yan fight? Minus 200 for Izzy, perhaps.
That's a good question. The Toker.
Great question.
The Toker. Very good. So wait, is this one of those Dana White announces? This isn't official, right?
Obviously it's not official, but you know, he answered it pretty flatly. Okay. Cause I think Okamoto was the first one to report it. I think.
Yeah. Dana did an interview with
Okamoto. Yeah. With ESPN. Yeah. So ESPN reported first and then someone followed up with it at the press conference. And his answer was like, yeah, that's what's next. So how official? I don't know. Has Izzy tweeted about it? I know John Jones did. I shouldn't acknowledge it, but he did.
It makes sense. This is a fight that makes sense. I mean, the UFC, if they're not going to book the rematch of Whitaker, this is really the only big money fight for Izzy if Izzy wants to make a big paycheck. So
Adesanya has not acknowledged the announcement yet, so we don't know. We don't know how official this is.
But. So that's why I figure, I mean, Izzy coming to the U.S. to corner a teammate for a Contender Series fight, that's nice and all, but there's no way he wasn't doing some serious business while he's here.
I really wish that both guys would just get their chance to defend their titles. But again, I'm also not against an Izzy. I mean, obviously, I think an Izzy-Yan fight sounds freaking great. So I'm not gonna poo-poo that idea. If that's what they're working on next and that's what happens, I'll be super excited when it becomes official. But I'm kind of the old school. I do wish Izzy could get a couple more middleweight title defenses. And he already has some. I'd like Yan to get at least one. Though I guess this would be one if he beats Izzy. So I don't know. I'm just nitpicking. I think minus 200 is very realistic. Yeah, I think Izzy would be the favored name. I think he's a little more familiar to mainstream fans right now and mainstream bettors, more importantly. So yeah, he has that cachet. Minus 200, yeah, I'd be surprised. And it might even move in his favor. It might even get like minus 220, something like that by the time fight night rolls around. So yeah, not a bad bet.
Yeah, I would say Izzy, minus 200 sounds right. And I think this is a great fight for the UFC in the sense that if Yan wins, gives them more star power. Yan needs that star power. And if Izzy wins, obviously, then ooh, hello, Mr. John Jones.
Yeah,
I don't think it hurts you. I don't think Holloway was hurt too badly when he lost lost to Poirier, right? It was like it was a great fight. He lost. I don't think it hurt his reputation that much.
Izzy, I think it would hurt though if he does lose, because he does have that O on his his record, and losing that O would be, you know, that O. I think it still means a lot, especially for a champion.
Would that be February, probably?
I think that would make sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, because I don't think they're going to be able to book Izzy Jan before the end of the year. That seems highly unlikely.
Unless you put it on the Conor card, but that's a main event.
If you're going to wait till February, why not do – well, I guess, again, no, you can't do Whitaker because he said April, May. He said he's turning April, May for a comeback. So that's out of the question.
And Dana White was like – well, then you guys asked Whitaker about it, and you said, no, I don't want the title fight. He didn't say that.
He did not say that.
What was that for? He said he's not going to beg for a title fight. He said, I'm not fighting until March, April, May. Like, I want to be with my family, get a kid on the way that's going to be born in January. Like, I'm taking time off. I'm not in a rush. He didn't say he wasn't going to fight for the title. He just said, I'm sitting out till April. I got family stuff.
That's just dumb.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that's just dumb. But Till and Hermanson now. I mean, I feel like if Till has like an impressive performance, shouldn't you still consider him for the title shot? Again, we don't know how far along this Izzy Jan negotiations is, but that's kind of sucks for Till and Hermanson. I'm sure it's not going to affect them that much, like mentally, their preparation. But that did feel like a number one contenders fight. Now we don't know what it is.
Yeah, we'll see. Fun fight. I just don't know. Yeah. I mean, Whitaker, I mean, it's tough to like give Till the shot over Whitaker. And Hermanson, nice guy, but not really a big draw. I don't know.
What's it going to take for Hermanson to become a draw? How about that?
I don't know.
Does he just not have that it factor? I mean,
I don't know. I like Hermanson.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, I don't understand fight. Too. I don't understand the fan. I think he's good at interviews. He's an exciting fighter.
He finishes fights.
He heel hooked, freaking gassed him in like 2 seconds or something. Like that's insane. But he kind of confuses me. I get it too. Like I don't see Hermanson being like a star, but I just don't know why either.
Yeah.
I think we say that about a lot of people.
It's too nice.
When it comes to he's too nice. That is always a part of it. But what is that magic formula to being a star? Who knows? To making an Anderson Silva, you might say. We discussed it a lot this week that even Anderson Silva, the formula for turning him into a star was very convoluted and very complicated, and it took a long time. And there's really no way to replicate that particular path that Anderson Silva took. There's like no way to replicate it. Because I think people forget, even when he was putting on like highlight reel finishes, he wasn't like a huge draw. And it wasn't until a little bit later, maybe like the Vitor, Damian Maia, which was a terrible fight, but I think it drew okay. And then, of course, Chael Sonnen, that he really became like a big, big mainstream star. So a rival would be good. I don't know if there's like some blood rivalry that Hermanson can develop with Darren Till. Maybe they can make each other stars. But now that we have kind of these murky stakes, that's certainly not going to help things. So, yeah, looking forward to that fight. Looking forward to Jan and Izzy if that happens. But, part of me still wishes we had that traditional champion staying in their divisions and defending their titles. But it's a very different era we live in now.
Yeah, I mean, had Cannonier won last Saturday, I think we would have had we wouldn't even be talking about it. But
which is why I hated that fight.
Yeah,
nothing to gain.
Yeah,
but thank you, the Toker. I agree. -200 probably be about right.
Yeah, solid prediction. I think.
I just lost that question. You're okay. You happy?
Oh, watch my 666. Thank you for bringing up Tough, the Ultimate Fighter. Maybe the greatest reality television show of all time, next to So You Think You Can Dance. Look, I've watched – I'm not going to lie. I have missed seasons of Tough. I've watched almost every season. I think I missed like Tough Brazil 4.
You watched the foreign ones? Like the ones?
They're so good. Oh, if you guys never saw the Ross Pearson season, Tough the Smashes. I think it was Ross Pearson and George Sotiropoulos. That's like one of the best seasons you'll ever. It's just so much But anyway, I'm going to rant.
Ross Pearson and George Todd Roberts were coaches on Tough? I had no clue.
I know.
My first day here.
I never saw the Chinese edition, which I think was actually called like the Chinese edition. Warrior or something. Yeah, and they got like a yoga guy on the show, and he got his ass beaten in like the first episode. I think he left the house. He's like, "This is a huge mistake. I don't know what I'm doing." I only saw that clip. I did not see the whole. I'm behind. I will someday watch them all. But I'm glad to hear that there will be more seasons coming. So even though it'll make my catching up more difficult, I'm excited. They said this is Ultimate Fighter 29, I think. Who should coach? I'll tell you who should coach. And I've thought about this for a long time. Not current UFC stars. For one thing, often they don't make good coaches. Brock Lesnar was on there once. Horrible, horrible coach against Shane Carwin. Terrible. Against Junior. And then he ended up fighting Shane. My memory is so bad. But Brock Lesnar was an example of a guy who was on there. Sometimes you get really good ones. Michael Bisping, Jason Miller was an awesome, awesome season that the fight was made so much better by the fact they coached against each other. But that's like one out of a lot of fights that one either ended up just didn't need that buildup, or two, didn't happen. If you want to just go to Wikipedia, guys, and just check out the last like 10 seasons, there's so many fights that were just derailed by injury. Because look, there's like an 8-month gap between filming and the fights actually happening. So a lot of crap can go wrong, and often does in MMA, as we know. So it's faulty. So I say get good coaches. I would love to see them bring Chael Sonnen back. Awesome, tough coach. She's done multiple seasons. Matt Serra was a fantastic tough coach and essentially a de facto coach on the comeback season. So bring back these guys. Don't worry about setting up fights. Bring back guys who are good coaches. Treat it like Iron Chef. You rotate like six coaches.
There you go.
Yeah, you bring these guys in. Rashad Evans, throw him in there. Dean Thomas, I think, would be amazing. Guys who are good on TV would be good coaches. And that's the most important thing. Don't worry about trying to build a fight with the show, because it makes for bad television. Sometimes the fights don't even happen. So that's so who's going to do it? I don't know. Not current. But my picks would be Chael Sonnen and Matt Serra. I think that would be amazing.
Who you got? Are the coaches going to fight?
No, there's no fight.
The coaches fight. Only coach?
I know.
I'm here for the drama, sir.
It is crazy.
I want to see. I don't care if they can fight. I don't care if they can throw punches. I want to know if they're good roommates.
We got BJ Penn Edgar 3 because of the Ultimate Fighter. I think that fight was booked because they're like, oh, let's have them coach on the show. And then I guess they have to fight at the end. The fight was depressing. It was one of the worst seasons ever. They were, you know, when they do the time stop footage, you're in video case. You know, when they do the time stop footage where they show like, oh, here's time passing by. They did one montage where it was just the guy sleeping. It was just them like getting in and out of bed. Like that's how little happened on that episode. So what I'm saying is I love the Ultimate Fighter and I'm glad it's back. That's really the point.
Who would your coaches be, Casey?
Oh, God damn it. wait, are they actually? I don't have an answer. I just don't have an answer. So it's going to be bantamweights and middleweights, they said?
I think so.
Middleweights, yeah, middleweight, bantamweight.
Who would it be? Who would it be? Who would it be? Who would it be? Oh, man. I don't know. This is too much for my brain right now.
Who won the last season of The Ultimate Fighter?
No one.
I should know this, and I'm embarrassed. I'm gonna look it up in a second.
Was it Juan Espino?
Had to be, because it was heavyweight. Heavyweight and it was two people cast. So Juan Espino was a heavyweight winner.
I am very curious though how Tough is gonna work in the new pandemic era.
They're doing virtual auditions. Love to see how those.
Yeah,
but the house is perfect for it, right? I mean,
but there's a crew there. The crew is like half the people in the house will be crew, like sound guys, camera people. Like there's a lot of things.
Just stay at a designated hotel, right? It'll be a little bit complicated, but
yeah.
I heard if it's all mental. I was watching the post presser, the whole COVID thing. too soon.
We're
not gonna go there.
it's tough to say who's coaching, because they're gonna film this thing.
Yeah, it's just,
if it's gonna air in March, they're gonna start filming probably in like January. So there's like a couple of like easy matchups that you could do, but if they're gonna have the coaches fight, then the fight can't be till like May or June. So man,
I mean, and think about it too. Not only do the contestants and the crew have to be bubbled, these UFC champs or these high profile fighters, whoever they're going to be coaches, they also have to be quarantined and in a bubble or whatever for like 2-3 months. Like,
yeah,
it's complicated. If Tuff is going to do the same thing as they did before, it's actually very complicated with the world the way it is.
Yeah, and there's another reason why I wouldn't want to throw two stars in there, if I'm being honest. It's just, again, who knows what kind of competition would be. And I guess guys like Chael Sonnen and Matt Serra might not want to volunteer for that, though. But, hey, you pay them enough, they'll do it.
Yeah, I mean,
Covington and Masvidal?
No, don't put any stars in there.
I mean, listen, we can do it virtual. We can do Skype classes. I don't know. It's all
everyone else is doing it. I mean, our kids are doing it. So why can't UFC fighters do it?
Not my kid. Mark, my kid's in school.
Yeah, your kid. How's that going?
Mark Vinagre. Mark Vinagre in the comments. Thank you for answering. Who was the female winner? I should have known this because this was the heavy hitter season.
Macy Chazon, right?
Macy Chazon, yes, because it was the male heavyweights and female featherweights. So it was like the two heaviest, like in their weight classes. Like, this season's gonna be sick, and it wasn't a bad season, but it was not like the best way for Ultimate Fighter to go out. But that actually wasn't a bad season, I'll say.
Wasn't every single featherweight go to bantamweight pretty much as soon as it ended?
Yeah. 100%. And we all knew they would, because I feel like you could just a glance at their Tapology page, like, oh, it's like this woman fought at like flyweight like two fights ago. Like, they're just putting them in there for the sake of the show and not actually trying to find actual featherweight. So it was just a debacle.
Ooh. I'd love to see Volkanov. I'd love to see like Cejudo in there somehow. This is like how he
does that. Yes. Cejudo would be, you know what? That would be perfect. Get these weird semi-retired guys. And again, even if it doesn't end up in a fight, that's a guy who's a recent star. He's very much on the front of people's minds. I don't think he's a particularly good talker, but he does love to talk. That's good for TV. He'll do anything. I mean, we know he'll do reality TV antics. You want to know a guy who's going to be corny, do reality TV show antics? And Cejudo's all about that. So that's actually a really good suggestion. I'm so down for Cejudo.
All right, what else we got? We spent a lot of time talking about the Ultimate Fighter.
Who else wants to? Is there another Ultimate Fighter question? Let's go. This is now the Ultimate Fighter chat. I am so down. Guys, just at me on Twitter if you want to talk about the Ultimate Fighter. My DMs are open.
Casey looks ripped. You can see who's controlling the questions, can't you?
that was an accident. I was trying to click this one right here, but
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with the bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.
Another tough question.
What do you think of Tough Ferguson versus Chandler?
No. Tony Ferguson is 37 years old. He does not need to waste 3, 4, 5, whatever, how many months it'll be in that friggin' Ultimate Fighter house. All right. No, just make that, just book that fight. Let both guys focus on training and nothing else. No,
that'd
both of you.
So much fun, though. Moving on to next week, do you think Jana will beat Claudia? Are we going to see Zhang Wei Li versus Jan? I don't know. She's going to have to beat Claudia Gadelha for that to happen, but it's a good fight. I can't believe that's not the co-main event.
Yeah.
If we're being honest, look at this card. That should be the co-main event.
That's disrespectful. I'm looking at the card now. That's disrespectful.
Yeah, I noticed.
That's straight up disrespectful. With you know, I like Tanner Bozer and Andrei Arlovsky. I like Ian Heinisch and Brendan Allen. They should not be above Claudia Gadelha and Yan Xiaonan. So,
no.
Ooh, that's bad. I thought they were the co-main event. That's bad.
Yeah.
That's very bad.
People love heavyweights, bro. They love heavyweights.
I know.
Does anybody think that she'll defeat Claudia Gadelha next week in the co-main event? She could.
Sure. I'm picking Claudia, but she looks impressive and she seems to be getting better. So we'll see.
Yeah, Yana's legit, and I've said before she's wanted to fight Zhang Weili. They don't train together. They might have trained together in the past, I don't think they're necessarily close friends, or they train together. So that'd be a good matchup. And unfortunately, I wish it could happen in a card, you know, in China, you know, or somewhere in Asia. But obviously, these circumstances, it can't happen. But yeah, that's definitely a fight I would expect to see. If Jan wins, I would absolutely expect to see that in 2021.
Sure. Jan, a -140 favorite right now.
Oh, wow. Hmm. Okay. Hey, the people know.
She's very legit.
Yeah. Good fight.
Oh, here we go.
Without stands,
is this a Tristan Gordet show?
The man asked good questions. He put one stinker out there, but everything else.
Come back with a vengeance.
Kristen, yeah.
With outstanding finishes by Hernandez and Yanez, have you seen striking that crisp and that clean? It felt like every punch they threw landed flush. Both outstanding performances. Adrian Yanez is a problem at 135.
Agreed. Another 35er. Yes.
Yeah, he is he's legit. He's fun. And now you got to see that he can kick too. That kick was ferocious and it was perfectly timed. It was like poor Victor Rodriguez was just like, I have to escape these punches, so I'm going to go this way. And his foot was just waiting for him. Just whap, knocked him right out. It was nasty. And then Hernandez, you could just see like, and there were some comments I saw on Twitter about how the broadcasters were talking about Hernandez and saying that like, that they were crapping on his old team, but shouting out Factory X. I didn't think that way at all. In fact, Hernandez's old coach was in his corner tonight with Mark Montoya. So,
oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Yeah. It's just, listen, it was just Hernandez even said it when I spoke with him, that when you're the big fish in the small pond, you're winning all you're winning every single battle in the gym. You got to go somewhere else. Unfortunately for Alex, he figured that out in the middle of a fight with a guy like Drew Dober as he's getting punched in the face. Yeah, I probably should have like be a part of a team somewhere. And now he's got one. And you could tell that, I mean, listen, Chris Gritzmacher, tough dude, guy was out for 2 years. I mean, this isn't like Hernandez beat a top five guy. This isn't like the Dariush win, but this is the kind of fight he needed. He hasn't had any of these fights in the UFC. He'd never got the chance to really grow up. He just got thrust into the Dariush fight. And when you knock out a guy like Dariush, you're going to get like these really difficult matchups. There you go. So this is a good performance. This is a good confidence booster for him. He's got a new contract with the UFC. I think this is like his third or fourth contract with them already. So good fight. On to the next one, AK. We're not going to talk about what's next for Hernandez now. That's an interesting one. That's the one that I'm really thinking about a lot, because there is no more I'm not saying that Gritzmacher was a layup, because he certainly wasn't. Gritzmacher's beat the brakes out of Joe Lozon, which is not easy to do. I mean, there's no easy fight for Alex Hernandez. There's no more tune-up fights. Everything's a tough matchup for him moving forward.
Yeah.
I do think we need to pump the brakes a little bit. Because, like I said, yes, Hernandez looked amazing tonight, don't get me wrong, but I think he was most of the prelims. This might have been the closest one, but I believe most of the fights, almost everyone was like a 2-1, 3. Oh, I'm sorry. No, this was not close. Hernandez was over -400 favorite, depending where you look, but at -400 at the very least. So he was one of the heavy favorites. What was the closest? I think Strickland Marshman was one of the closer ones. Maybe Jacoby Ledet. Maybe Jacoby Ledet. Even he was like a 2-1, I think. No, oh wow. No, even he was. I'm just looking at it now. So most of the fighters, I know there was a close one, but most of the fighters in the prelims were like 3-1, 4-1 favorites. So, and there's a reason for that. I mean, look, we talk about Victor Rodriguez, not a particularly experienced guy. Fought for Alaska Fighting Championship, which is a fine promotion, but not the highest level of regional competition, if we're being honest. He was a short notice replacement, less than 2 weeks notice. So he looked smaller. He looked, I think, quite a bit smaller than Yanez. That's just how I saw it on TV. So Yanez got to style. He did what he should do facing inferior competition, but let's pump the brakes a little. He looked great, of course, on Contender Series as well. We know he's fought for LFA, of course, which is a really, really good, probably the best regional competition that you can fight at. But again, let's pump the brakes a little. He styled on an opponent that he was very, very heavily favored against. So, and even Hernandez to some degree, like you said, nice win against Lozon for Gritzmacher, but huge, massive favorite tonight. And he took care of business, but pump the brakes. Pump them.
Wow. Tristan, pump the brakes.
Tristan, pump the brakes a little.
You like that cliche. That's your go-to cliche.
Can I
pump the brakes?
What was the other
way to go, Candy?
Can I read a non Tristan Gordette question? Is that allowed?
Hold on.
Is that allowed?
Oh, you control the questions now?
I guess Tristan Gordette controls the questions because they keep getting on. So I'm saying you might want to try and control the show. Hey. We're probably going to talk about him on to the next one too, because he always has suggestions for that show as well. And Watchmen versus six, another guy, another regular.
Habib versus GSP for the 30th tough season.
would you call Habib and GSP stars? I mean, I would think so. Yeah. So
George St. Pierre is 40 years old.
Yeah, he's old, man.
Yeah, that's what he's 39. He turns 40 in May. He'll be 40 if we throw him into the tough house. I don't want him turning 40 in the tough house, okay? Let the man enjoy his life and training. How dare you suggest that for an Ultimate Fighter? No, that is a waste of both men's lives. I say this because I love the show. I love the show. One aspect I've hated for years, though, is that it does put fighters on the shelves for a long time. So, yes, these guys fit in that semi-retired star category, or fully retired, I would say, definitely in GSP's case. But no, I please don't. Casey, why'd you do this to me?
GSP's busy with the one championship apprentice.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. He's got
30 million people are going to be watching that.
Go watch the Koscheck season again. All right. If you want to see GSP coach, go watch the Koscheck season again. That was a really good one.
Here we go. Let's talk about, we got actual a fight question from another longtime user. Long time commenter.
I do have a good question.
You have a question? Okay, before I go to this one. I'll lose track of this one. So we need to talk about him because we haven't mentioned him yet.
Yeah, please. Another friend, Waximus One. Sorry, Mike, go ahead.
This is the fight. I mean, I was going to let you guys go because I know how much seeing this makes you guys smile. That's the fight.
I feel like we've mentioned this on to the next one multiple times. I feel like we've mentioned this on post-fight shows. This is the fight to make. This is 100% the fight to make. High motor, exciting grappler in Bryce Mitchell versus maybe the greatest ground fighter I've ever seen in my life, Ryan Hall, the master of the 50-50 position. Yeah.
Did you see K1 level Ryan Hall dropped Darren Elkins like three times? Not just a great grappler, just a great athlete, a great fighter. He's a complete warrior. So mind your P's and Q's.
Yeah, I think they have to find a way to make this happen. I bet if you're Bryce Mitchell, though, you're aiming for – because I don't know where you would rank Ryan Hall now. I mean, obviously, he's like perennially number one.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the UFC ranking, the so-called media rankings view him that way.
Is there anything higher than one? Because he's probably one is.
But I think Bryce Mitchell will be looking for someone with an official number next to his name, a UFC number next to his name. I don't know if Paul falls in that category. So I don't know if we see that next. Is it the fight that should make next? Of course. It's the fight that should always be the main thing that the matchmaker should be working on at all times.
Ryan Hall is ranked two spots above Bryce Mitchell right now.
What number is he? 13?
13.
Mm-hmm. Is he really?
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't be surprised. When's the last time he fought?
Ryan Hall?
Yeah.
December.
That's not that long ago, I guess.
He is ready to go.
Darren Elkins was ranked. That's right. Okay. Darren Elkins was ranked, so he took Darren Elkins' spot. Okay. Well, that makes sense. And again, he's the best.
Mitchell Hall is the fight to make. If not, Mitchell versus EK is 1B for me.
I see that.
Oh, I like that too.
If Ryan Hall doesn't get booked this fight, the fight I want to see once he gets healed up, I still want to see Ryan Hall versus Jeremy Stephens. And I want to see a full 30-minute countdown show just with these guys. Just sit them at a table, like one of those, like where they go head-to-head and they just, you know, let Jeremy Stephens mean mug him. I love style clashes.
I thought you were going to say you want to see a 30-minute fight, no rounds. 30 minute time limit, no rounds fight between
both,
Ryan Hall.
Both. Okay. Give me everything. Why are you limiting me? This is America, man. Freedom. Come on.
Old school UFC. UFC, UFC 30 minutes to a fight. And then judges decision. No decision. I guess it'd just be a draw if it lasts that long.
No, it just, yeah.
Can I read this question from Aaron Mabry?
Go for it.
Yes.
He's probably not even listening anymore. It's been so long. Aaron Mabry, thank you for this question. What's next for, you know, it ties this. What's next for Bryce Mitchell and his legendary camo shorts? Oh, there he is. He popped back up again. What's next for Bryce Mitchell and his legendary camo shorts? He also just asked, where can we buy them? Probably Reebok.com. I don't know, but don't buy from them. I just want to say,
did you say don't buy from them? You just slid that one in there. Don't buy.
I did. Are they one of our sponsors? Because in that case, Reebok's number one. The Campbell shorts jumped the shark tonight, right? Am I crazy?
Well, I think they half-assed it. He still wore the generic, you know, jumpsuit. You got to go camo all out. You know, his corner guys weren't camo.
Uniform.
Like it's a fight kit, not fight.
He should have popped out of a bush. They should have had like a
exactly.
Fake
bush. No, like what they shouldn't have done. They shouldn't have done the walkout. The music played, and the camera guy's like, "Where is he? Where is he?" And he's already in the cage. He can't see him.
Oh, gosh.
Come on, man, Dana. This is how you make money. Come on, man. Hot takes.
I did not. I think we all loved when this campaign started. And every time he dedicated any promo time to it, it was great. It was funny. It showed so much personality. And it's something we all wanted. We're like, yeah, fighters should be campaigning for more individuality and to have their custom gear. We all want that. But somewhere along the way, the UFC kind of co-opted this storyline. I mean, they did a whole video package for it. I swear they said the word camo shorts 20 times in maybe like a minute, 90 seconds. It was horrible. I don't know if you remember in the WWE, Fandango, when Fandango first came up, and he had this cool dance he was doing, and I'm trying to get my, thank you, I need the wide shot. He had this cool dance he was doing, and people loved the crowd was doing it, and it's really a stupid, catchy song. And then, like, they wanted to make it big, so they had friggin' 100-year-old Jerry Lawler come out and go like, "Hey, kids, the whole nation loves Fandangoing, right?" And then he started doing it, killed it. No one ever fandangoed again. And the same thing sort of happened with the camo shorts today. I think people are like, the UFC's like, "Hey, look at these camo shorts we let this guy have. Aren't we a cool company?" And I'm kind of like, it's kind of lost. It's kind of lost its magic now, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's corporate camo shorts. I hate to say it.
It's like,
should have went all out with it.
It's like when your parents get on Twitter or something and they start commenting on your stuff. Just like, I hate everything now.
I thought what I wrote was cool. And my mom
says I'm cool. I don't get it, guys. Why does everyone hate me?
I already have her validation. I don't need to. Anyway. Wait, Mike, are you still down with it? Are you still down with the camel shorts?
I agree. It should have been like camo everything. Coaches, shirts, walkout, sweatpants, shoes, sneakers, everything. Everything should have been camo.
And I saw people say on Twitter, it's like they're essentially saying, "Isn't this cool that we let this one fighter wear this like this unique outfit, and we make all our other fighters wear crap?" Like that's kind of what it looked like. They're like telling on themselves with this, like, by basing so much promotion around this one aspect, as like, you know how you make this makes everything else you do look right.
How many years?
Even like Feely shorts were like different too. They were like blue, and it looked like there was like laser beams all over them. Those are different too.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know, but who cares? I mean, good for Bryce.
Yeah.
But who cares? I mean, who cares?
Yeah,
who cares?
Unless well, like, yeah, yeah.
We got Casey dressed like Giant Gonzalez over here.
Yeah, I want to see that.
That's what
I'm shredded. Look at these traps.
Friend of the show, Jessica from the Crystal Crew, was asking on Twitter what Halloween song should people come out to, like would any fighter come out to. And I said, if someone came out to the Werewolf Bar Mitzvah song from 30 Rock, I would crap my pants. I would crap. If someone had come out to that song, I would have just like, I would have left. I would have just like stopped tweeting. I would have stopped doing my job for the night. So it's good no one did, because that's why I'm here. But I would have loved that, or Monster Mass, something like that. But there's some good walkouts today. I'm not going to hate.
Yeah, the two best ones are Hernandez and Gritzmacher, in my opinion.
Oh. Was that the Fleetwood Mac versus Rob Zombie?
Versus White Zombie, yeah.
Oh, I heard the Fleetwood Mac. I didn't hear the Rob Zombie. What did he walk out to? Like,
you remember? More Human Than Human.
All right.
But that needs a crowd. That needs like a crowd. It needs a slow build, and then like, you know, once it ramps up, then you kind of like Clay Guida run down to the ring. But obviously, you can't really do that. You can't really do that at the Apex, unfortunately.
Man, and Hernandez shouldn't have had a big bottle of like cranberry juice.
I know.
Like, come on, let's go all out.
It's not one of their Ocean Spray is not one of their sponsors, so you know they wouldn't allow it.
Yeah,
100%. You know that was not going to fly on the air. 0% chance.
Why are these corporations making this not fun? Jeez.
I know.
Any more questions?
Come on, people. Yeah, right?
I agree.
The night itself, though, I think, like you said in your intro to the show, Mike, it did have some spooky moments. The Holland Slam was scary. There was a ton of blood. It was kind of a surreal scene at the end with Hall and Silva, because they're trying to wipe the blood off of him and close the cut. The cut guy was there just doing his job. And I think someone said, just give them a minute or something. And then as Hall and Anderson Silva are talking, like, the cut opens up again and blood just starts dripping from like Silva's face while they're having this moment and hugging. And again, it's the sort of scene you can only see in MMA, which is what we love about it. So that was a crazy scene. A lot of finishes, a lot of blood. So very, very Halloween appropriate event for the first one in UFC history.
Agreed.
I did not see anyone walk out as a sexy nurse, so it was not Halloween to me. Jeez. One more question.
Yeah. All right.
Real quick. Oh my gosh, it's a big question.
Darling boy.
Do you think with Venom taking over Reebok's place, fighters would be allowed to express themselves more? No. Also, I think the UFC should allow a sponsor patch so it doesn't, like NASCAR and fighters, get money. No, it's not going to happen. All you needed to see was the press conference announcing this deal, okay? And what do they say? The fighters are going to get more money than they got the Reebok deal. How much more? Probably not much more. But that's it. That's all you're going to get. It sucks. It stinks and it sucks and it stinks. But that's just the way that it is. And no, we won't see anything cool. We won't see anything individualistic. It sucks. I want to see the fighters be able to express themselves a little bit more with their fight gear. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I just don't have a lot of faith. Anybody, you disagree with me?
No.
Zero.
The UFC is about control. It is about controlling its product. It's one of the reasons it's been as successful as it is. I think it's one of the reasons that's also held it back in some ways. But again, I'm not the one counting the beans out there. I'm sure they believe in what they're doing. So yes, as fans and as members of the media, you know, we see things a different way. Like, I think there's room for growth there. Again, when you allow for more individuality, I think that's how the UFC became as big as it did. But this position they're in now, they feel the need to take those kind of risks, and so they won't.
Maybe Venom stuff will just be so just much cooler looking. You know what I mean? It won't be as boring as Reebok.
Venom does make cool stuff. They actually do make good gear, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about individual gear. Like, are they gonna have cool stuff for this fighter, cool stuff for that fighter? You know, I get you can't do 500 custom outfits, but why not? Actually, we watch enough pro wrestling. They all have individual outfits.
Yes.
I don't get it, man. Like, so you don't need to do 500. Let's do a dozen. Let's start at a dozen. Different ones, maybe. But
I do wonder if a lot of wrestlers pay for their own gear, though.
They do.
Unfortunately, yeah.
They do.
Yeah,
they do.
So there you go.
But yeah.
Casey, we can't go on that question. What a downer.
Yeah, I know.
I'll.
You see anything? I don't want to.
I'll keep it out.
Yeah, people are really into the sexy nurse.
Well, you brought it up.
Oh man, is that okay? Let's go out on something. Yeah, we don't. Hey, what's a positive thing about the card tonight that we can just go out on? Like, okay, you know what? What did we not talk about? What did we not talk about? You know what? That was pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'll say two things, man. Sean Strickland getting a win, coming
that
back,
fun.
And gosh, the talking was so much fun.
Wonderful.
I mean,
wonderful.
There's pros and cons to not having a crowd. One of the big pros, boy, if someone decides to talk in that cage, you are going to hear everything. And Sean Strickland was definitely aware. Midway through the second, he kind of realized, like, man, I bet everyone in this building and everyone at home can hear what I'm saying. Because he got louder and louder and louder.
I felt like he was mic'd up. I felt like there was an actual microphone on him. I was like, how is the audio so clear for that? Like,
did not need it. He was talking. He was like, come on, man. Come on. Man, why aren't you going down?
Yeah.
You got to fall down, man. And then they're like, come on, we've got 10 seconds left. Let's go. 10 seconds. Okay. Oh, man, 5 seconds. Let's go.
Five seconds.
I was like, holy, this guy is – I forgot. I mean, I remembered him being good. I forgot how entertaining he was, because it has been over two years since he last fought. And the other one, Dustin Jacoby. I mean, a lot of people don't get this chance after 8 years away from the UFC. If you go if you don't pick up a win in your first round of the UFC, he went 0-2. Back in 2012, I guess, or 2011, 2012. And then the UFC doesn't pick you up for like 8 years. You're probably not coming back. Okay, you have maybe a small window as a fighter for your second chance at UFC, maybe 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Usually you have to end up going to another promotion, maybe making a name there. Dustin Jacoby just did like the old fashioned way. He's just grinding away on like the regional scene, you know, and then comes back and gets his first UFC win almost 9 years after his UFC debut. Think about that. If he never wins another fight, that's a great friggin' story. So very cool moment for Dustin Jacoby and very cool moment for Sean Strickland. Very fun. Sean Strickland, maybe the funnest fight of the night. So I kind of wish they'd found a way to get him a bonus, him and Jack Marshman a bonus as well. So, yeah, a lot of positives. Hey,
can you imagine that when Justin, oh, I can't say his name now.
Dustin on Justin.
yeah. When Dustin Jacoby, when he lost his second fight in the UFC, like afterwards, you know what? This guy needs about a decade. Give him a decade, we'll see him back, and he's gonna be impressive. So, yeah. Congratulations to him. Super nice guy. I met him in Glory, and like I saw him get his ass kicked, and I saw him beat up some people. So I was like, man, the fact that he's still doing it and still made a nice little paycheck tonight, good on him. Keep living those dreams.
Yeah. I shouldn't have tried to say this word.
Wait, say it again. I'm giving you the solo camera.
Circuitous route back to the UFC. I forgot that there was the gap that he took off there to go pursue kickboxing and not fight in MMA for about 3.5 years. Yeah. So what a roundabout way of making your way back to the UFC. Again, guys, you know, look, that's one of the beauties of this game that we cover, you know, is you just can't count anybody out, you know? You can't count anybody out. So it was really nice to see. I'm getting emotional again, guys. I'm getting Uriah Hall feelings here.
You know what's wild is that remember in May when Anthony Smith lost to Glover Teixeira and like Mark Montoya was like the devil of coaches? Like, how dare you allow your fighter to take this kind of a beating? And like he just got turded on for like 72 hours until Anthony Smith started doing media and was like, listen, if Mark Montoya had thrown in the towel, I would have fired him and he would never have coached me again. So he was looked at and frowned upon in a big way. But look what happened. Look what's happened over the last couple of months. I mean, good God, between Brandon Royval, what Yusuf Salal has done this year, Luigi Vendramini getting the win that he got, Kraus getting the win that he got, and now Alex Hernandez and Dustin Jacoby. Factory X is rolling right now.
They've been rolling for a while. It's just, yeah. I mean, get that guy on What the Heck. We need to know more about him.
He's a good interview. Factory Mark, X and Fortis. Yeah. Factory X and Fortis, well represented today. Well represented.
For sure. I'd love to get Mark Montoya. The last time I talked to him was right before the John Jones Anthony Smith fight, and hearing him try to like break down John Jones and just like the excitement he had to like try to solve that puzzle, like gave me goosebumps. It was awesome.
All right.
So there you go.
All right.
We got anything else?
We're good. Take us out.
Readers, I'll say again, as always, though, viewers, you guys are the best. The viewer count always seems to like go up during the show. You guys are crazy. Like, are you calling your friends and telling them to hop onto the show? Please don't do that. That's. I welcome all viewers, but I mean, really, don't bother your friends with this stuff. They don't need to hear about us.
There you go.
Thanks,
guys. What a way to set this up. Of course, lots more on this card. Monday morning, on to the next one. AK and myself, we will do some matchmaking for the main card, as well as I think Alex Hernandez and the wild card. Always fun for the wild card. Between the links, we'll talk about the card as well. And then onwards and upwards. A-side, What the Heck. And then we get you ready for UFC Vegas 13, I think we're going with. That'll be headlined by Glover Teixeira versus Thiago Santos. Hell of a fight. Big one at 205. For, I guess, the number one contender for the winner of Blachowicz versus Adesanya. So there we go. That's where we're at right now. So we're done. UFC Vegas 12 in the books, at least for tonight. For Giant Gonzalez and what are you, AK?
That's not AK. Monkey. I don't know where AK is.
The Monkey Man.
For Giant Gonzalez and the Monkey Man, I am Mike Heck. Good night. Happy rest of your Halloween. You guys are all crazy. Good night, everybody.
Dreams. Happy Halloween.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The PFL is live from Chicago, April 19th, with welterweights and featherweights taking center stage. In the main event, former Bellator welterweight champion Andrei Kereshkov takes on knockout artist Magomed Umalatov. And 2022 PFL world champion Brendan Loughnane looks to start his 2024 off with a bang versus submission specialist Pedro Carvalho. Don't miss the action. Friday, April 19th, live at 10 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN and ESPN+.